Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to jump into our teaching from this week's Torah portion. We are in the book of Numbers. This week's reading is between Numbers chapter 8 and through chapter 12. And I have picked out a passage here in Numbers chapter 11, which I want to discuss for this week. And so let's go ahead and read here in Numbers chapter 11, and we're going to be starting with verse 1. And the people complained in the hearing of Yahweh about their misfortunes. And when Yahweh heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of Yahweh burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to Yahweh, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of Yahweh burned among them. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of bedlam. The people went about and gathered it, and ground it into handmills, or beat it in mortars, and boiled it in pots, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of Yahweh blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to Yahweh, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you laid a burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you swore to give their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.'" Now, Yahweh would get angry upon the Israelites complaining in this situation. He would bring judgment, or we could say he would bring discipline to the children of Israel because of their complaining here in the wilderness. Now, it's interesting. When we start off this reading, we see in the first verse that the people of Israel had already began to complain even before. And Yahweh was angered about their complaining, and his anger consumed to a point where he brought his discipline or his wrath upon some of the camp. And Moses stepped in and prayed unto Yahweh. He interceded on behalf of Israel unto Yahweh for his anger to subside, for Yahweh's anger to subside. Okay, so even upon that happening, Israel still does not learn their lesson, and they go on to complain again. Now, this next time, the scripture actually tells us what they are complaining about, and it's about what they are eating. They are not satisfied with eating the manna in the wilderness anymore. Their stomachs are desiring the food that they once had in Egypt. It tells us in verse 5, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. We remember the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlics. And that it cost us nothing." That's what they said. It cost us nothing to eat this good food. But what they're forgetting was the bondage of slavery they were underneath when they were in Egypt, the hard work of having to build the bricks that they were building for Egypt, to the point where Israel cried out unto Yahweh for help, for deliverance, because of the burden and task that had been put on them by the Egyptians. But now they're in the wilderness. Now their flesh is lusting after something, and they forget the horrors, you could say, or the bad things that was in Egypt. All they remember is the good things. You know, our flesh can be the same way when it comes to sin. It can remind us of the pleasures of sin while leaving out all the horror and the depression and the curses that followed because of our sin that we walked in once before. And our flesh can try to draw us back, just as Israel's flesh was calling them back unto Egypt. Now, the thing, though, I want to point out for this week is we see in verse 4, he says, now the rabble that was among them, some translations would translate rabble as the mixed multitude. Now, the mixed multitude that was among them had a strong craving. So if we remember, when Israel came out of Egypt, Scripture tells us that they came out with a mixed multitude. Or you could say it was not just Israelites who came with them out of Egypt on the night of the Passover. But there were Egyptians, there were those who lived in the land of Egypt who saw what had been done, and they desired to go with Israel, and they went with Israel. They believed at that moment in time, and so they followed Israel. So we have this, what we call a mixed group of people who are wandering around the wilderness. Now, another interesting thing about this word rabble is that when you look into the ancient Hebrew, where you get into the pictogram, and you look at what the pictures were used in order to create this word rabble, one of the pictures is that of a thorn. It's a very interesting idea when you think of the concept of thorn. So the ESV version is calling them rabble. So you could think, so the thorns that were among them began to complain. They had this strong craving of the meat that they once had in Egypt. And so they start complaining. And so this complaining and this desire, this lusting for this food that they once had, begins to spread in the camp. So the thorns in the camp begin to spread because the thorns were not being checked at the very beginning. So they spread throughout. It's the same concept when you think about gardening. And, you know, when you go out and you plant a garden, you put your plants in the ground, but you're also going to have weeds, and you have a constant battle, a constant work of where you're having to work the ground to keep the weeds, or you could say the thorns, the rabble, out. And if you don't stay on top of it, then the weeds can overtake your garden. And once the weeds get to a point where they are so established, they can begin to choke out the actual plants. That speaks of the same thing that we see here with the camp of Israel. If the weeds, if the complaining isn't stopped at the right time, that spirit of complaining, that spirit of lust could spread throughout the whole camp of Israel very quickly and very fast. And so we kind of have to examine ourselves as well. You know, David the psalmist prayed, you know, search my heart, O Yahweh, see if there be any wicked way. We need to be a people who are searching our hearts, who are in prayer, who are seeking and examining our thoughts and our desires and our ways to see, is there any rabble? Is there any thorns? Is there any weeds that are in my soul? Is there any evil desires, thoughts, and meditations that I need to get rid of? Because if I leave them unchecked, if you leave them unchecked, they will spread and they will take over your soul, just as the weeds will take over the garden. So Let's look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, thinking about this concept of the thorns and the weeds, and bringing this even in context with what I just used with the metaphor of the garden. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Now, this is a scripture we're pretty much all well aware of. This is the scripture. This is what is told unto Adam after he has eaten of the fruit in the garden. It's at this point that Yahweh tells Adam that the ground is now cursed, and no longer is he just going to kind of be able to go out there and just harvest the fruit of the ground, but the fruit is now going to grow among the thorns and the thistles. He is now going to have to labor and work hard for his food. He's going to have to battle against thorns and thistles in the field in order to bring forth food to eat. Well, let's think about this on a spiritual level. When Adam ate of that fruit at the garden, he entered, or he allowed sin to come into the world. He allowed sin to come into his heart, into his mind, and into his soul. So now, spiritually speaking, he was going to have to deal with thorns and thistles. And he was going to have to fight against thorns and thistles every day for the rest of his life in order to walk in righteousness, in order to walk with God. And that is where we are. We have all been born into sin. We are all born with this sinful nature, with this flesh. And we are going to be in a battle each and every day with the thorns and the thistles that are in our lives. And we have to know that. And we have to be willing to go to war each and every day against the evil desires, the sinful desires that reside within our hearts, within our soul, and our minds. Those things that would rebel against his command, against his Torah. Those things that seek to do our own ways. Those things that seek conformity unto the world instead of being transformed into his likeness. So we have to daily be on guard and watch for the thorns and the thistles that are in our lives. That being mixture. Those things that, like we said, this was a mixed crowd. So where's the mixture that is in our hearts? Where is the things in our hearts that are not totally his, that do not totally belong unto him? Anything in our life that is not totally yielded unto his word, that has a desire to walk in obedience to his word and his righteousness, to seek to be conformed into his image, to do as he did, would be mixture. That would be a thorn. That would be a rabble. That would be something that we need to work on getting rid of. And it takes daily maintenance if we're going to have a clean heart. If you're going to have a clean garden of weeds, you have to maintain it. You have to be on top of it. If we're going to have a clean heart, if we're going to have a clean mind, we have to be on it. We have to be nonstop on guard with the thoughts and the desires that reside inside of us. Okay. Let's look at Numbers chapter 33 and verse 55. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then those of them whom you let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. And I will do to you as I thought to do to them. Well, what was he doing to the inhabitants of the land? He was driving them out because of their wickedness. He had given them 400 years to repent. They chose not to repent. They chose to continue to walk in their sin. They chose not to get rid of that which was unpleasant, unpleasing unto Yahweh, and chose they worshiped their own gods, and because of that, they were driven out of the land. So God is telling Israel, you are to drive them out of the land so that they are not a thorn in your side. Or you could say, so that they are not a temptation unto you. See, looking at the original verse we read, the mixed multitude, the thorns, led away the camp of Israel. Okay? So this is what he's speaking to Israel here. Do not be led away by people whose heart does not belong to me. Or even those whose hearts do not totally belong to me. Because the mixed multitude, they went with Israel, but yet in the wilderness, they had a desire to go back where they were. So they had a mixed heart. So we need to be careful that we drive out those things that are within our hearts that are not pure before him. Because if we do not, they will be a thorn in our side and they will lead us astray. They will cause us to stumble. And as Yahweh tells Israel here, if you follow in their ways, if you leave them in the land, they're going to cause you to stumble. You're going to fall. And then I will do to you as I'm doing unto them. I will drive you out of the land. So we need to be careful that we do not allow any kind of compromise in our lives, because that compromise will spread and it will take over and we will find ourselves on the wrong end of his judgment, because we didn't deal with something that may have seemed small, because sin and lust is never satisfied. If we allow one thing to go, that one thing is going to grow and grow and grow until the thorns have overtaken our hearts and our soul and our minds. So we need to get rid of them. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord or Yahweh is riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. So here, the writer of Proverbs is telling us, thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. So whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. So what are we to do? We are to guard our soul. We are to guard our minds and our hearts from the thorns and the snares, because they are what lead to crookedness. They are what's going to lead us away from the path of righteousness, from walking in the ways of the Almighty. The first verse is what? Honor and life to those who walk in humility. Humility would be one who receives correction and walks in obedience to his word. That is what humility is. Humility is to walk in obedience to his word. And when you're not walking in obedience, you are open and receptive to hearing correction, receiving correction, and repenting of that which you are doing wrong. So as we're thinking about this concept of getting rid of the thorns in our lives, humility would be to see that we have a thorn, to see that we have a compromise that's in our life that is a mixture, that would be a thing that would cause us to stumble. Humility would say, I need to get rid of that, and would repent and get rid of that sin. Okay? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord or the fear of Yahweh is simply, can be broken down to it's an awe or a fear of him, which actually produces obedience. Because we fear him, because we have this reverence awe of him, which actually should be a love for him. This isn't a fear out of a fear of him coming and bringing this hellfire judgment upon us, but it's a holy reverence and fear or love of him that causes us to want to walk in his ways, to please him, and to do what's right in his eyes, thus producing obedience. Just as when Abraham obeyed Yahweh with bringing Isaac upon that mountain and being willing to slaughter him as a sacrifice on the mountain, the response that was given unto Abraham when he was willing to follow through was, "Now I know that you fear me." We know we fear him when we walk in obedience to him, no matter what the cost of that obedience is. Okay? So to those who walk in obedience, to those who have humility, there is honor, there is riches, and there is life. And those who guard his soul or his heart to walk in humility, to walk in obedience or the fear of Yahweh, they stay far away from the thorns and the snares. They stay away from those things that would tempt them. When they see temptation, they flee from temptation. They get rid of temptation. They get rid of the mixture that is within their lives. They get rid of the compromise that is within their hearts, souls, and minds. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So I'm going to take a little different approach on this parable, kind of what we're talking about today. But what we see here in this parable of what Yeshua is speaking about, first of all, he speaks of how the master comes and he sows this good seed in the field. Okay, so this man sows the good seed in the field. You could say, spiritually speaking, of our hearts and our minds, that this good seed is spiritual seed, which the main way that we can plant his spiritual good seed in our hearts is through his word. So we implant his word in our hearts. This good seed and corruptible seed is planted within our hearts, and the seed begins to grow. And as we as believers walk in our faith and in our journey and our relationship with Yeshua, we are going to continually go through the process of sowing good seed in our hearts. And we need to be in the process of watering that good seed and maintaining that good seed. And we also need to be aware that an enemy is going to come along who's going to want to plant weeds. Weeds are going to get planted amongst the good seed as well within our hearts and our soul and our minds, because we still live in a corrupted body. Our minds are still fighting against the corruption or the sin nature that we were born with. Okay? So we're going to have weeds growing amongst the good seed as well, which is wheat in this parable. So we have wheat and we have weeds that are inside of us. Now, in this parable, Yeshua is talking about the end times. He lets them all grow. He lets the weeds grow. He lets the wheat grow. And at the end, he's going to come and he's going to harvest, because he doesn't want to root up the wheat along with the weeds. He says, we'll deal with it at the gathering, at the end time, at the harvest time. which is what's going to happen in the future. He's going to come and he's going to gather his people unto himself. And those who are not his people will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's going to be those who have not dealt with the weeds that were within their own hearts. If you do not deal with the weeds, the compromise that is within your heart, within your soul, and within your mind, then you will become a weed, and you will be a weed when the end time comes, when the gathering at the end occurs. So if you want to be with him, if you want to be gathered amongst him and be counted as the wheat, to be a good seed, then you need to make sure you're planting good seed within your heart, you're watering the good seed within your heart, and you are getting rid of the weeds that are in you. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And this scripture, probably all know, and we're talking about the dangers that we deal with when it comes to mixture. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here we see in this message to the Laodicea church that they are walking in compromise. That is the very thing that Yeshua is addressing to this church in Laodicea. And what does he tell them to do? He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. What he is saying is, I recommend for you to be refined. When you take gold and you put it in the fire, this refining process, what they do is they heat this gold up. And in the process of heating this gold up and you melt this gold, it separates the gold from the dross. So when we buy jewelry, none of our jewelry is actually 100% gold. It is mixed with a different type of metal. It is a mixture. So if you wanted to take that ring or that piece of jewelry you have and have just gold and to get rid of the mixture, you have to refine it. You have to throw it in a fire and you have to melt that gold. And when you do that, it separates that which is least costly from the most costly, being the gold. So he's telling them, be refined. Refine yourself. Get rid of that which is not righteousness. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the dross. He says, to whom I love, what do? I reprove, or I bring correction. I discipline those I love. He disciplines us when we get off track, when we do that which is not right. He brings his correction unto us because he loves us, because he desires for us to be refined, because he knows the dangers of us walking in mixture. He will spew us out of his mouth because mixture will lead us to a place where we reject him, where we turn our back on him, because at that moment in time, the weeds will overtake our hearts and soul. So what does he tell us? Be zealous. Be zealous for his law. Be zealous for his righteousness. Be zealous to be transformed into his image. It is zealousness that will cause us to have a desire and to cause us to do the work of maintaining our hearts and soul each and every day to get rid of the weeds or the compromise that exist within our hearts and soul and mind each and every day. And we are to repent. Repent of those things that are not in line with his word, with his righteousness. Repent of the compromises. Repent of the small sins that are within our lives. Repent of the thoughts and desires that do not line up with his word. So seek out, search out, find out, what are the thorns? What are the weeds? What is the mixture that is within my heart, within my soul, and my mind that I need to repent of? Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So we do hope that you come back and join us again next week. And so come back now, and shalom, y'all.